The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
have to just turn that off to simply extract the precious stones. I get that point. And that's the third policy here, to really be vital question. So when you open the Bible is going to have six stones, it's going to have a lot of things. It's going to have grammar. You know, the Bible is a good thing. It's not only God that spoke in the Bible. Are you aware? Are you aware? God spoke in the Bible. Men spoke in the Bible. Donkey spoke in the Bible. Satan spoke in the Bible. Name somebody. Everybody spoke. Donkey spoke in the Bible. Look at that. I said something. But I said something. Job said. Peter said. But he must be able to rightly put across the Bible to express the truth. I get the point. There's that message from which everybody thinks. So they must rather divide the word of truth. And that is what we are going to attempt to do. And that's what I'm going to teach you how to get to that point. You know why they're like, oh, everybody is boring. And I tell you why they say that. They've not learned to pay attention. So they've not learned how to actually divide the word. So I'm teaching on how to learn to pay men. Let's say that is what. Now, look at this. Bible study is an attempt to get to the writer's intention when he was writing. It's not an attempt to get your own meaning to the things that I've been writing. Now, this is what I if I'm writing something, how many writers here? Okay. When you write, there is something you have in mind when you're writing. There is something you want to communicate. If you are done writing and I collect your text, that was wrote, and I say, let me interpret. My interpretation should be on the text to get to what you have in mind when you are writing. Is that correct? Let me give an example. If I'm writing and I am talking about OB, and I say, an OB took the bucket. And maybe what I want to understand from that text is that Obi died. Of course, you know what it means to keep your bucket. But when you read the material, and you say, what I learned from this passage is that you do not keep buckets on the way, because you know you're going to keep it and they fall. Right, following? Now, you can interpret something, but it's not rightly interpreted. In fact, from that wrong interpretation, you can even begin to give moral instruction. Keep your house in order. Don't keep buckets on the way. Kids are going to keep it on their way. So let's learn to divide the world. We are teaching. But that's wrong interpretation. Why? You are not saying what I have in mind. I get what I'm saying. In Bible study, you are making an attempt to get to the writer's original intention. Now, I've heard it from many preachers, and I've said it a lot. I want to say it today. The Bible can never mean today what it never meant when it was written. You know what I say? A Bible text cannot mean today. So, the meaning of the Bible text is not just today. So, if I am explaining properly, if I'm doing that interpretation, I am not attempting to get, now this is a quote, I am not attempting to get grammar. And that grammar simply is what it is in definition, it's anything that sounds deep and complicated. If I have not gotten to what the preacher is about, unless there's somebody who, for God so loved the world, that I get to the person, there was something in my mind when I was writing. If I'm to interpret properly, I must get to that thing which you had in mind. Same as somebody. So, that's why it's not a careless thing. It's not just something about that. It's my own understanding of this verse. You can do that. Are you following me? If you think what I think, from my own point of view, this is what I get. You can do that. Because there is something the writer had in mind when he was writing. So, if I interpret a verse to mean this, and interpret a verse to mean that, both of us are not correct. One person is wrong, or one person is correct, or both of us are wrong. Hallelujah.
we interpret properly, we will arrive at the same conclusion. Say amen, somebody.
That's why you notice in 1 Timothy chapter 1
and verse 1.
1 Timothy 1 verse 1.
Hallelujah.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, what verse 2? On Timothy, my apostle. So, this is how this is Timothy. He called grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus our Lord. Number 3. And besought thee to still to abandon the Ephesus when I went into the Kenya, that thou mightest judge from that they teach no other doctrine. So, he said, I want you to stay back to make sure that people don't teach other things. So, you know what? I want you to stay back to make sure that the same thing I was teaching. Is the same thing every other person is teaching. Because if we interpret the Bible correctly, we only have the same message. We only arrive at the same conclusion. We only have the same end point. Are you following me? That's proper interpretation. You know, in secondary school, we need vibration. Unit vibration. Okay, science class. Hallelujah. But if you follow that very well, what the product is it? You must get the same you must get the same type of value. Right? If they say that, you that is it. If you do it well, that's too much people. Others are saying, oh, I got 0.2. Even if you got 0.1, but I say 0.8. You got 2.8. The interest comes from you. And that's what we will do in Bible study. They get a verse from the Bible and they bring their own meaning. That's what they're saying, Rama. But they put to a point. And they put to the point the spirit now is going to live now. That's the meaning for the now. Well, the point is, what I want to ask is, should the light of that verse appear? And let me tell you that this is the chapter from what he wrote. How will it be? Will it say all the things I wanted to say? Or will you see that little flag of glitter for what I wrote? I get the point. You know, imagine you write it very content. You know, you can just see the word out of context. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, we must have the same truth. You can't have your truth. And I have my truth. And they have their truth. We have the same truth. In chapter verse 11, and I've got some apostles and some prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers, but strong for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the word of Christ, for sentencing that we all come in the name of the Spirit and the Son of God. What? We have to come in the name of the Spirit. And the problem is, people go to this verse and they assume that what Paul is saying by the unity of the faith is when all the believers in the world get united. No. Now, I'm making it very suddenly, not today, very nicely. When I look at the word faith, it's what the reason I'm going to look at that. When you see unity of the spirit, you're not talking about me and all the good people who come to get together and we hold our hands and we're singing, we are heirs of the Father. No! Unity of faith is explained in that verse. What is the unity of faith? The knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what Paul is saying is that when we have been taught well, we only arrive at the same conclusion, the unity of our faith. I get the point. The unity of our faith, the perfect man, the living Son of God, we will get to that point. And verse 14, it now says that we therefore, believe our children, go and fro and carry about with every wind of doctrine. To me, we have to go to the point where all of us have the same truth. So we can't have the truth of our truth. And I tell you, the mechanism why people don't have the same truth in books is because they have done poorly in Bible interpretation. I have another point. We come back, so everyone is explaining what they think is okay. What they think, if I don't understand it, what I think, what God will be to me now is that it is no. So we also have the same teachings. So I'm going to just explain to you how you can arrive at the truth in Bible study. Amen. That's why I can't even know what you know. Now, for me. There are different divisions, of course, in the Bible. This part is one, because I'm going to go from the no to the no. However, there are things I'm going to say that you think you know that you actually don't know.
Old Testament writings. Now, I didn't say the Old Testament. I said the Old Testament writings. Now, let me go another question. Then, in the New Testament writings, we have the Gospel, the Acts and Apostles, and Epistles. So, the Old Testament writings go from Genesis to Malachi. The four Gospels go from Matthew to John, that's what Matthew to John. The Acts and Apostles come from each one. You see why, when we start. Then the Epistles go from Romans to Revelation. And these are just the divisions of the Bible. I tell you to make divisions. And there is a way to study each of them. Because each of them, each of these divisions, they present something for us. And they help us. If you understand what they mean. Let me give an example. I'll start with the Old Testament. You know, I don't like people to say things like, they look in the Old Testament. We are the New Testament. So I don't read the Old Testament. I don't have this. That is constant. We are not in the Old Testament, but there is a difference between the Old Testament and the Old Testament writings. Are you following me? In fact, if I can just push this a little further, I can help you and confuse you as the case may be. The Old Testament and the Old Covenant did not start from Genesis. It started from Exodus. It did not even end in Malachi. It ended in John. Amen. Listen. Some people say that, well, the Old Testament started, and I think I have put this in very recently. It started when the Israelites came out of Egypt. Moses instilled that covenant. So Moses was put in Genesis. And the New Testament started when God died on the cross and rose again. Are you getting the point? So, what I'm talking about is not about the Testament or the Covenant. What I'm talking about is the rights that the Old Testament writes. That the books that were written that time. And what that the books that were written after the cross. Now, you study the Testament, and by the time I'm done, you see why. In fact, let me just say this to you. The most the most important part of your Bible is the Old Testament. Did you hear what I said? The most important part of your Bible is what? Are you see why? So let's look at the Old Testament and how to study it and what it represents. In the Old Testament, is called Scripture. When we study the New Testament, we are studying Mark, we're studying Romans, and you see the word Scripture. The word Scripture refers to the Old Testament. Let me take some verses. Okay, in Mark chapter 12, verse 10, let's hear what Jesus said. Mark 12, verse 10. Jesus told them, have you not read this Scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. Where was this written? Where was this written? Talk, where? Which verse? Psalm 118, verse 22. Let me just say. Psalm 118, verse 22. The story which you have repeated becomes the head of the commas. So, what is in the Old Testament? So, when people do that to put the Testament, what do they call it in Matthew, verse 10? They call it Scripture. Don't know what I'm saying. So when you're reading the New Testament and you see the Scripture says, don't think it's talking about the New Testament does not call itself a Scripture. It refers to the Old Testament text and Scripture. Are you following me? Let me take some other verses. Mark 15 and verse 28. Mark 15, 28. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which said, and it was numbered with the transgressors. What scripture was fulfilled here? I think the telegraph spoke. It was numbered with the transgressors. So every time we hear the word transgressors, talk about Scripture, it's talking about the Old Testament. I can show you a little more. John chapter 2 and verse 22. John chapter 2 and verse 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said it unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which was as well. So you see this part, they presented two things. They presented scripture from the word he was saying. Let me have it up. So there is scripture. Scripture talks about the Old Testament writings. The Old Testament writings are called the scripture. So Jesus, but let me mention you two more from Jesus. John chapter 7 and verse 42. He said, I know the scripture says that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was. What verse is that? Many verses, from 8 to 9 verse 3. You find it. Book of 8 to 9 verse 3. I've made a covenant with my children. I've gone unto my servant David. Check also verse 4. Next verse. Verse 4. That he will last for me forever and build up thy throne to all generations. If you check Micah 5 from verse 2. Micah 5 from verse 2. Okay? For thou Bethlehem, Ephrathah, thou be the little amount of Judah. So this verse, to be very clear, that Jesus will come from Bethlehem. And the point of Bethlehem at least. Are you getting the point? Now, actually, notice, go back to John 7, 42. So Jesus is talking about this. Told them, the Holy Scripture said that Christ will come out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was. So what the verse of Scripture will be the writing of Micah. Did you see that? So he called the writing of Micah. Let's say a little more. John 19, verse 24. John 19, verse 24. Don't make permission. Very strong. They said there among themselves, let us not rent it and cast lot for it. Go ahead and cast lot for it. To go to schools, this guy mentioned, remember? Whose it shall be. That scripture might be fulfilled. Which said, their pattern I got my enemies. So if you think about what you see, what is that meant? And you divide with that scripture. So when you see scripture, in the New Testament, it's not referring to Israel, it's referring to the Old Testament books. Let me show you a little more from the four Gospels, from the Epistles. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Yeah, Romans 4, verse 3. For what said the scripture? Everyone believed God and was kind of in for what? What verse is this? Genesis 15 and verse 6. So Paul refers to the Old Testament as I follow any this evening. Amen. Romans 16. Okay, before we get to Romans 16, I'm coming. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Romans 16, I'm going to make it very strong. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by. So, my thing is, in the last verse, it was funny. When you now see all scripture is given by the Son of God, what do you think he's talking about? All the Old Testament texts are given by the inspiration of God. Now, this is why the Old Testament is very powerful. And it is profitable for doctrine. I follow you. So, you know what I'm saying? The Old Testament is given only to you. Well, all Old Testament text is given by inspiration of God. Hallelujah. Here. Now, before I proceed the reason, I'm going to say something. Romans 16, verse 25. Oh, God. So, Isaiah was written by the Spirit of God, amen? Jeremiah by the Spirit of God. It's written by the Spirit of God. And it's written, it's profitable for doctrine. Are you there? Now, look at this. Now, to them, there is a power to establish you, because you are writing, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. So, Paul talks about his gospel. He calls it the preaching of Jesus Christ. And according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, verse 26. But now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets. Go back to verse 25. Put on the let me read the words closely, but let me together in front of an altar. Are you ready? Let me together. All glory to God, who is able to make you strong, just like my goodness build a plan for you Gentiles. A plan kept simply from the beginning of time. Now see the next verse. But now, as the prophet foretold, and as the eternal God has commanded, this message now stop. So what is it as the prophet foretold? What is it referring to? The prophet of the Old Testament, that is the scriptures. So let me ask you. Where did Paul gather his preaching from? The scripture. That's the Old Testament. Okay, I'm going to say something now, but I'm going to talk about it while we close. So, the book of Galatians, what document did Paul study before he wrote Galatians? I still enjoy this evening. So the Old Testament is so important because it is the foundation of every other Bible book. It is the foundation of every other Bible book. Genesis to Malachi. Because, for instance, if you are going to go to read the Bible, when you read the Bible in the Bible, do you remember? Chapter what? No, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke 4, verse 18. Start from 17. Everybody watch this. And Jesus was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the faith of written. The problem is, when you continue to write the book of Isaiah, that's your reference. So when you see Jesus studying the Bible in his own time, what was he studying? The reference. Are you there? Let me say to you, when you see Paul or Peter studying the Bible, what were they studying? Were they studying the Gospel? Were they studying the book of Matthew? How are you taught that? By then, it was not written. Are you following me? So the Old Testament is the foundation for everything Paul wrote from here. Jesus wrote, now let me tell you something. John 7:38, I think we're going to make it together. John 7:38, so we're not really at all. You that believe it from me, and the scripture I said, and of the whole, Jesus was quoting the Old Testament in speaking. Are you there? And the scripture I said, what scripture said that? What scripture said that? I'm waiting for you. Yeah, let me put it to your back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me get that from my mouth. Amen. Okay. So, thank you, sir. I think, I can't get that. But then, is it as good as it? So notice he said, so Jesus was quoting the scripture. So Jesus quoted an Old Testament text in his teaching. This did not happen once. This happened many, many times. In fact, in John 5, I think verse 39, this is in my notes, but I just told you. He told them, you think the scriptures, he said, think the scriptures, for you think you think everything I like. He said, there are things which is going to be written in the Bible. And this was explained to them, I promise you, Sunday, what is actually found in that scripture they were reading. So, the scripture is important because Jesus himself taught from it. Jesus, during his conclusion, has been taught from the scripture, from the Testament. Now, it is what makes you to know, as I've already told you, that Paul himself taught from the Testament, as I've already said in Romans 16. What of Peter? What Peter 2 verse 6? What of Peter? Where did Peter teach from? If I before I don't get to first Peter, let's go back to that. I'm coming from First Peter 2 verse 6. Therefore also it is contained in the Paul is laying his hand on the stone cornerstone. So, Peter was teaching from the scripture. He was quoting an Old Testament verse. I am not laying the stone cornerstone, Peter, and even the things are not compounded. So, Peter quoted, what verse is this? What verse is this?
In Isaiah.
58 verse 16, put it up, so that you'll see. Isaiah 58 verse 16. Yeah, for purpose of what? God, I left Zion for a foundation stone, a prayer stone, a precious corner stone, a foundation, this I believe it. I didn't get the point. So, Peter in his writing, look what you think, so that's how the book of Romans written. You think, Paul didn't stand up in his room and was thinking this piece of, okay, what do I tell these people now? No. Or maybe what they think he was downloading from heaven and was writing, you are reading the material. I can follow you. Second Peter 1 verse 20. Let me just go. Second Peter 1 verse 20. Knowing this, that no professor of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were by the Holy Ghost. So, how were the scriptures written? Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost and they bent it down. I get that point. So, the Old Testament text is very important. Now, look at why there's a problem. Look at why there's a problem. But the reason why people like this confused about the Old Testament is the Old Testament, the message, there is a mystery. This is the problem. There is a mystery in the Old Testament. If you just read it as a story, just like that, you'll miss the point. Look, let me say, Colossians 1 verse 26. Colossians 1 verse 26. Mystery. You see, the Old Testament, the Old Testament, as Mr. said, even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but it's now made manifest in sense. I'm coming to this. Colossians 2 verse 2. Colossians 2 verse 2. That the rest of the comfort that bring me together in law unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the fulfillment of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So there is a mystery that has been hidden for ages now. That mystery is hidden in the Testament books. What am I going to show you? What is that mystery? Go back to Luke 1:36. Let me begin. What is that mystery? Because that's where there is a confusion in the Testament. That's how the prophet did a piece of fruit. Let me begin again. And from generations, it's not made manifest in a sense. Verse 27, to whom God would make known of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is that mystery? Christ in you. Go to NLT. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been provided to God's people. Verse 27. For God wanted them to know that this and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. What is it? Christ lives in you. So, Jesus, this variation, Jesus is the message of the Old Testament. I'm going to say this from the end of the Testament. So what was Paul doing? They will now open up those Old Testament texts and begin to teach and discover Jesus from those books. And then teach out from the Old Testament. So the Old Testament book is not a book you pray with. It's actually a book you study. Because if you want to call the epistles, they are derived from the Old Testament. Just as they now open the Old Testament, and begin to find a mystery hidden. What is that mystery? Christ. Let me show you again. Luke 24 verse 25. We're going to hear this matters now. Let me begin, everybody. He said unto them, I have both fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. So, what did the prophet say? All here. If you don't understand it, just keep it simple for me. I'll pick it up next time. I told you that the Old Testament texts are very important because they're the foundation. Have you? Now, in that Old Testament text, what books do you think are the most important books? Did I tell you? The five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, and Deuteronomy. I'll tell you why. When you read the other part of the Testament, you don't even follow what I'm going to say. When you read Ezra, when you read Nehemiah, Isaiah, what do you think? If Isaiah wanted to read this scripture, what would he read? If you read Ezra, that would tell us Ezra, they read the law. Ezra would come up and read the law. What would they read? Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Exodus. So what document was Isaiah supporting? The law. In Judaism, it's called the Torah. Those five books. Don't play with it. Are you following me? Because that's the foundation. What do you think, Isaiah? What do you think, have you heard Ezra? They read the law of Ezra. They all gather. What are they missing in the temple? What are they missing? Do they need to read the law? What is they are reading? Those things. Remember, Moses is utilizing those things. Told them to put those books in this Ark of the Covenant. So what they need, they read it. That's the document they have. If you have the right to the Old Testament, we are founded to upon the Bible of Moses. That's why Moses is a very important figure. I don't know what we'll study Moses later. We are consulting David the other time. I mean, we are coming there for you. It's a very important figure. Because he brought down those laws, wrote those things. Every other person now begins, they have to study it, to put down their own material. So, yes, they are led by the Bible and the Spirit. But then, they had a document. So, you will not find a law in Ezra, or a law in Nehemiah, or a law in Isaiah that will contradict the law of Moses. That's what I mean. That's a very good one. So, in terms of every time the student, most of the students is in this book, there is a distinction between Moses and other prophets. Look at our beginning at Moses, and that man is a very important figure. Are you following me? Because the other prophet built on the foundation that he laid. Are you following me? With the level of light and understanding that they have, what Paul and the rest now did is what is very different. What did they do? He expanded unto them in all the scriptures, the truth concerning. So, what Paul will now do is to bring the scripture and begin to expose Christ in those scriptures. So, let me ask you a question. What is the central thing? If actually, now this is very verified, I don't know why I'm talking about it because I'm not speaking. We accept it like the epistle is about Jesus, have you? If the epistle that is about Jesus was written from the Old Testament, so what is the Testament about? What is the central message of the Testament? Christ. So what we are doing in front of the Testament is to unravel the mystery that is there. What is the mystery of the Testament? Christ is sitting in the best of the Testament. That is the central message. Now, this does not mean that every single verse in the Testament is talking about Jesus. No. That's why you need to be told. Say amen. Say amen, somebody. Hallelujah. He said the tongue is spoke. That tongue is a picture of Christ. That's not true. So what you are asking in the Bible is about Jesus. Amen. However, we see that Jesus is quoting the Bible. What did he do? Look at that verse. Read with me. What did he do? What did he say to them? The things concerning. So he went to the place that spoke about him. That's where he studied. That's where he paid attention to. So in studying the Old Testament, you are trying to find the truth and the message about Jesus in those verses. Let me tell you another verse. Go to verse 44. That's possible. Let's see if I'm going to this point. Do you follow very well?
Okay. Look at this. This is Jesus now talking to this guy. The same guy from the road to them out. Look at what he told them. And he said to them, this time the Lord made a statement to you while I was waiting for him. The last things must be fulfilled. Which we are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So he told them that there were two things in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms concerning him. So if you open the law of Moses and follow it well, you will see things concerning Christ. I follow you. If you study open Psalms and follow it well, you will see things concerning Christ. If you open the Psalms and follow it well, you will see things concerning Christ. So, what was Moses trying to say? Christ. What was Isaiah trying to say? Christ. What was I following the church? Let's see what happens in the next verse. Then open you their understanding that they might understand. That's because they believe in their life for the first time their understanding opened. What do you think they understood? Next verse. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus he provoked Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead in God's day. And that repentance and remission of sin. So the man finally understood, so all the humiliating in the scriptures is about Christ dying and rising and repentance and remission of sin, imprinting his name to all men. I believe you. So when we open the scriptures and we should be studying, we will understand, so actually this place is talking about Christ, his death, his resurrection. Look at why I'm doing this. If you're not careful, you might think that two things people do. Even if they say the same book, but like, oh, that's not important, all this, you might want to listen to it. Or they get lost in the story of the Testament. The story. Why do you plot and get everybody? Why do you require a bunch of everybody? Oh, the book of the Testament now come to animal and get us. You can get lost in the story. And miss the point. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You can get lost in the story and miss the point. Because you know, after the miracle, what is it that starts here? It's the prayer is bad. See the way the brothers of Joseph sold him into slavery. Let us learn not to sell our neighbor. That happened, I guess. The point is, they are lost in the story. But the main thing, the writer wanted you to see, you did not see it. They can feel like amen. They're lost in the stories. They're lost in the drama. Hallelujah. By the time you now hear the New Testament commentators on those stories, you will now be like, oh, is this what I was trying to say? I'll give an example. Let me just talk to you a few things. In the New Testament, you are going to see, I've taught this a couple of times, it's like this question of shadows and reality, if you remember. In the Old Testament, you're going to see that the Old Testament contains shadows. And look, what are shadows? Shadows simply means in the Bible, and shadows simply means something that points to something. Hebrew 10 verse 1, verse 1, verse 1, verse 1. This is mostly seen in the law. Mostly in the law. The law, I mean, is Genesis 8 to Deuteronomy, right? But the law, I mean, is shadow of good things to come. And what is going to put in the law, what you will find is a shadow of what is to come. Problem NLT. The Old Testament law of Moses was only a shadow, a deep preview of what is to come. So all the system that Moses is there for them, the point was not what he told them to be doing. The point was what he told them to do, what he to. So what is the beauty of do Passover every year? Bring the lamb, kill the lamb, sacrifice the lamb, do the fourth. You can be lost in all those rituals. You can be lost in that. But when you now meet God in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, he will now tell you, Christ is our Passover lamb. So all of those dramas, those people that bring the lamb must be this, the lamb must have blemish, was to teach them to
Maybe the point. So they belong to the grammar. So they belong to the grammar. Look at Colossians 2:16. The NLT. I want everybody to look at this. We will read on top of our voice. That's the way it's going to say like this. Are you ready? Colossians 2:16. Let's go. Don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating taking holy days. Please stay here. Or Sabbath. So, what is this? Let me remember what you eat and drink. You know, many times people, what are the holy days? There are special days, there are Sabbath, there is Passover, these are holy days in Israel. There is a day of unleavened bread, there is the day of atonement. God has let nobody condemn you for not celebrating these things. What? Paul, it's true. He said he's not celebrating these things. Do you know why? Now, I'll say the next verse. For these rules are only status of the head that they become and Christ himself. So, what Paul was saying, he was teaching them that their rest will come for us in Christ Jesus. So, what the other is now, Manali, or Paul says, let nobody put out the notion of preaching because the status comes to the reality. Now, the reality has come. The problem we have with the Testament books is that they get lost in the stories. Now, for instance, you think about first truth. The difference is to bring our first truth. You go to the first to make the trial, which is the end of the farm, the big first truth. Well, I'll say something next week about most of the next week about principles in Bible study and not principles like Bible study, putting in part by context and by principle. I'll touch on next week on next week. But the thing, when the Bible talks about first fruits, it's not talking about, of course, that they were bringing animals.
Amen. Amen.
They were bringing animals. But what actually was God trying to talk about? Christ being the best fruit. You know that
they are what I mean?
He being the best fruit, the first of them that were raised from the dead. That as he rises, as he has risen first, all the four will now rise in that same order. That's the meaning of breakfast. I can even take it a step further to say, okay, let me tell you something. Hey, I'm putting too many things on my head. Hallelujah. Amen. That's Corinthians chapter 9. So you see what I'm saying? From verse 9. Give me. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that feedeth the ox. So it says, when you are, you know what an ox is? What an ox? What an ox? A ox. Animal is walking in the farm. You know what it is? It says, don't cover the mouth of the ox. So that while the ox is walking, it can also be eating. You understand? Now, Paul now comes with an answer. Does God care for oxen? Is that the very best thing that is about ox? Imagine if I change that thing and Paul says, don't care for oxen. You see, Paul. The can be lost for this story. Now, what was you are talking about? Our faith is open of our faith. But our faith knows that this is written. That he that ploweth to plow in hope, and he that presseth in hope will partake of his hope. If we have shown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if you shall reap your carnal things? So, what was Paul's ambition? There are people that serve you, ministers that minister unto you, as a minister, you should give back to them. Are you following me? Do you understand this? Go back to that verse, nine. Put a penalty. Put a penalty. For the Lord, what it says, you must not muzzle an ox have a dream. What God then told him about us today, he said in verse 10, wasn't he actually speaking to us? Yes, he was waiting for us, that the one who prays and the one who fetches the grain might both expect his share of the harvest. Verse 11, seek your brother protected among you, and fear that if the harvest of this cattle and drink, verse 12, if the supporter that you preach to you, seems to have an even greater right to be supported. So, what you learn in the Bible, you can just be lost in the Old Testament and say, see, if you have ox, and you are talking with mouth, you are going to hell. Well, that is not what most of us say. So, what you know, I said is that you must celebrate personal death Sabbath. If you walk on such a day, you see the gospel. Well, that is not what most of us are trying to say. Most of us are trying to teach about the rest that we have in Christ Jesus. Say amen, somebody. So, in order to make rest, you will find Sabbath. So, what was Paul doing? What was Peter doing? What was Luke doing? What was Jesus doing? According to that same Old Testament, but instead of reading the stories and enjoying the drama, they will now begin to look for the next Christ, hidden in those passages, and the teachers from them. Are you getting everybody? I give you an example. I don't know if you find the Testament correct, I said the church is one, I don't know if you concerning Christ. Prophecies concerning Christ. I don't know how much about it, but I thought to make it lost. In fact, this is the one I was saying. If I put up the NLT, look at the NLT, everybody. This transition was something even the prophets, that was the relevant word, wanted to know more about when they prophesied, and I found this business transition prepared for you, verse 11. They wondered what time of still waiting on the Spirit of Christ in them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's offering and his glory. So, what was God the prophet in advance was about Christ's offering and his glory? Are you following me? So, what did God tell Isaiah? Christ's offering. What did God tell Ezekiel? What did God tell Nahum? What did God tell Jonah? Christ of Jonah, Michael. Michael. What's happening in Michael? Ah. Elijah. Or Bethlehem. Malachi. And Moses verily was faithful in. Come on, are you in church this evening? Are you in church? The more you are acting like you're not following, the more I'm extending the message. Are you following? And Moses verily was faithful in all his house. As the servant. For now, what is for a testimony of those things which we have to be spoken after? So, what Moses was in his house was a testimony of what he performed. See the NLT of that verse. It says, Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His word was what? In the expression of the things God will reveal it. Everybody. So, all the things that let's do tabernacle. I'm going to talk from the tabernacle. That tabernacle you are seeing, our tabernacle, and all the tabernacle, all of them are pointers to what is happening in Christ. So, you can be left in the story. Let's use gold. Let's use silver. You can be left in the story. Admit the point. I can follow me this evening. Prophecies about Christ, if I understand. If you check like Isaiah 53, confess your position about the death of Christ and about his resurrection. Now, that is what you do when you open up the Old Testament. You don't open up the Old Testament to read your own mind, to read your own understanding, to get your own thoughts into it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can I take 20 more minutes? Amen. Thank you. In this testament also, I've talked about shadows, I've talked about prophecies. You also find allegories. Say amen. Allegories. Is it okay? What's that? It's what? It was allegory. So what is it? What does it mean? Who wants to do something? Huh? Who wants to do something? Hallelujah. What an allegory. Allegory. Something if you know it. And if you put a land above and bad into it. And if you think you know it, you go. Come again. Not about that. No? Yeah, correct. If I'm sorry, giving you that is the man's understanding of it. Amen. When we are telling a story or whatever, but there is another meaning behind that. I get the point. You find that in the Old Testament, and this is where I want to base a little for the rest of the videos. But when you look at the Bible, there are many stories. And you look at people who just say, oh, let me give an example. Jonah. You like Jonah's story? It might not be enough in time to calculate the Jonah swallow the fish, but the fish swallow Jonah. He said, can the stomach of a whale carry a human being? And they not think that for 3 days. And if you don't die, that's the problem. It just looks in other ways. Jesus now says, in Matthew 12 and verse 4, he's actually giving a commentary about Jonah. Read it to everybody. But Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights. Is that the end? So when they are left in the story, did they and then Jonah says, throw me in. And men took Jonah, just like men took Jesus, and threw him into the sea. And then Jonah was buried for 3 days and 3 nights. He was never buried for 3 nights. And after 3 nights, he was vomited on dry ground, just as he was from the dead after 3 nights. I believe you. The story. Then, I want to know. Did you think that? Did you make up that story? So you can get this and yes, you are not in all the drama. Most of those stories will be allegories pointing to Christ. Let me give you an example. In the Old Testament, you read about how serpents, I'm not going to get into that position because that's the place in that. Read about how serpents. And serpents were biting the Israelites, remember? And they were dying. And then Moses made a broken serpent. And if anybody looks at that serpent, the person will be, the person will not die. And then God left to the story. He said, I can judge by looking, look at these things, by looking for the owner, what kind of snake? He has been a snake taker. You know a snake taker. If the thing bites you, in less than 1 hour, you are dead. Are you ready? Let me get everybody. I've noticed that the serpent in the world is evil too. Not the Son of Man believed in that, not verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But then now said, for God so loved that he gave his only. So what is God to see in that story of a serpent, a breaking serpent? Is that the love of God? How Christ, when we look at Christ, or believe in him. Now you look at the first serpent.
Something.
from the victory and the spirit of friends, we enjoy. No, Abraham was now by all of them to pray for something. How many of you know that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So remember what I did for you in just little parts and even that's the way, remember? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. The problem is people don't get lost in this. God said, heaven and earth, and God said, let there be light. What they don't realize is that verse, Genesis 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, has nothing to do with the creation of the world. Remember, I said that to you. Now, imagine all those other words that the earth is not from above. And God said, let there be light. Paul in one quote, that's exactly what that God said. In 5 Corinthians 5 verse 6, and now tell you well, that when God said, let there be light, and something else, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that was in Genesis 1, and said in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So let there be light, for example, in Genesis 1, was pointing to what God will do in Christ Jesus. So, like NLT of this. The God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts. So, those lights that God said, let there be in Genesis 1, that light did not shine in darkness, but the darkness is shining was in our hearts. Come on, I can't believe it. So, we cannot be lost in the story. So, God said, let there be light. And there was light. How can you not see this? Light now. So, obviously, the light is in. It's God that's let there be. That is not that the fish can that I'm going to do for you one day. It's going to have a lot of time. It's going to take like a couple of hours. I'm not that Jesus lives the Old Testament. Amen. I want to be good with that. Because that is not how if you need to tell what to live the Testament. It's very little like us. When we try to find Paul, you see what Paul is doing. Paul was Genesis 1. He's not asking what did they pray for? Sun or moon? Or is it land? In that book. Amen. Let's do one last one. Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians. Do you remember Genesis chapter 2? Look what I was. When God created made Eve out of Adam. Amen. I think verse 17 or so. And then Adam now said, this is now bone. Come on, church. This is now what? And I'm flesh of my flesh. So she shall be called woman because she was speaking out of man. But this is the last. The man is dead. This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. I shall be called woman because she was speaking out of man. Hallelujah. But 24, let it together. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be. Now, if you read this, you know, you can just be lost in this story. And people even begin to say, woman was taken out of man. So there is a particular woman that came from your ribs. And after that, your ribs formed. That story can be lost. So, there are no eyes in this kingdom. So, there is a particular woman that is going to kill the same as the one. How many are there? It's a one woman. So, what if a man gets married and then the wife dies and he remarries? Who thinks? What if your own ring begins to be undone? And then your own ring is a very useless ring. You see what happens if you don't come in the story. Just an actual ring that is used. It's not ring, it's kidney. It's not kidney, it's spinal cord. Paul did not put that same thing in chapter 1, verse 30. Verse 31, rather. In chapter 5, verse 31. Now, you see Paul's commentary. For this cause, shall a man leave his father, his existing necessarily. Father and mother, I shall be joined to his wife. And death shall be one flesh. Look at what comment. This is a great mystery, but I am still concerning Christ and the church. So why we are left in husband, wife, Paul says no. That drama in Genesis was the truth. How Christ will only be victory on the cross and from him. Are you following me? A pride shall be taken. At that point, Christ will now say, this is now part of my bone and tear it down. So, can I just compare to you? This earthly marriage is a shadow of the marriage of his support. So, even though we are practicing earthly marriage, that is not the main thing. The main thing is that Christ and the church shall become one. Hallelujah. How are you? Amen. So when you open the Old Testament, you expect to pay attention to drama, to story. You now go straight. You know, there are certain women in the Bible that, you know, that you can say to trust if the first one, when the Bible comes to make up some others. Are you getting the point? So, my point is, we kind of been lost in the story of Moses did this, Elijah did this. We are trying to realize a message behind all of this. That message is Christ. Hallelujah. So, you find out that you're the message of the four gospels, too, of course, the four gospels talk about the life of Christ on earth and his passion, his death, and all of that. But let me say this about the four gospels and the pictures that we close today. I think it's a point where God wants us to get to today. Amen. So, in the four gospels, thank you, Holy Spirit, let's have like 10 minutes to go. In the four gospels, Jesus taught the word. Remember, I already told you that he was teaching from the Old Testament. Do you know that? He was teaching from the scriptures. The document that he was using was the scriptures. So, Jesus was not just thinking of this in his head. The only difference is that the things he was saying, he was interpreting them the way God wanted them to be interpreted. But then they took it maybe differently. They understand. Remember, I can see the scriptures just from this. John Baptist tonight, he told them, search the scriptures. For in them, you think you have eternal life. So, did he say that they took the life that was about eternal life? Huh? In scriptures, you think. So they are searching the scriptures, they think that the power of the scriptures. And I told them, they are dead, which is the power of me. So what scriptures is the power of Jesus? So can you find the power of the scriptures? Yes. If only you can find Jesus in the pages of those scriptures, you will find the power of life. So if you study the scriptures and you've not found Jesus in the pages of those scriptures, you've not found the power of life. I follow you. So Jesus in the Bible says, let this God, the Holy Spirit. But something that the Holy Spirit will give to you to share with you is that in Jesus' teaching, in the four gospels, he did not actually put a just thing of God. Just thing of God. He didn't actually say everything he wanted to say. I have yet many things to say unto you. It cannot be the matter. Because when he was about to die, the Philistines can see that. In fact, the word that appears in the Greek is the actual things I want to say unto you, I have not already said, because you cannot be the matter. I feel a judge. I have to tell you, but I can't be the matter. How do you feel that was the same? People, when the Jesus is born, he will guide you speak of himself. But whatever he says, that can he speak. And he will show you good to come. What are these things to come that he will show you? He will, he shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and shall say to you. So when you read the Bible that he will show you things to come, you're not talking about prophecies in that context. He will show you things concerning Christ. Anyway, take the next verse. He will talk about saying, all things that the Father has heard are mine. Therefore, say that the Lord said, take of mine and just say to you. So he talks about, I have many things to say, but I've not only said them. When the King of Kings will come, he will show you things concerning me. In other words, he will show you the things I actually wanted to say that I have not said. Are you following me? The things that are not there now. So, when couldn't Jesus, think about it for this, why couldn't Jesus tell you everything he wanted to tell them? He couldn't bear it now. What does that even mean? I'm coming. In Mark chapter 4 verse 33, Mark 4 verse 33, and with many such disciples, he spoke the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. Verse 34, but without a parable, spake he not unto them. So, you know, he took something in parables. In Luke 8 verse 10, look at that, Luke 8 verse 10. And so, the answer is, he's giving for the use of the Lord of God, but to all that in parables, because there are people who talk in parables, because they didn't understand it. Even if the disciples, they explained further unto them. I'm talking about parables, not just the lectures. The disciples, they explained further. But even with everything they explained to them, if you told them, you can't hear what I'm about to communicate to you. Why? That spirit of truth has not entered their hearts. Are you following me? When the spirit of truth will come, uh-huh, you will now begin to say the things I want them to say. That is when you can now bring the things I want to tell you. So, he didn't say everything he wanted to say. That is very important. So, the first one is the story about Jesus and all that. But the teachers themselves in that school, he made it very clear that everything he wanted to say, he did not say. So, you cannot use the whole gospel and say, I've learned everything about Jesus. Because the man before he left told you, there are yet many things I want to say, but I've not said them. So, we are learning everything about Jesus from the four gospels. I get the point. So, now that I get to the apostles, may we find the life of the apostles of Christ, as we just account of the life of the apostles of Christ. Now, it is now the epistles. Amen. I said amen. These are 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10. What are those things you don't say that we wanted to say that we could not say? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Let me read everybody. I want to work with it. Put your voice with it, because this is the heart of this teaching. Right? I have not seen. Stop. When it says, as it is written, where was it written? The scriptures. Do you remember? So, start again. As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear I have, neither have entered the heart of man, the things which God prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us. So the Spirit has revealed the things that ear had not seen and ear had not heard. Do you remember? Can I say it another way? The Spirit has revealed the things which they were not able to bear then, which God will be them. Are you following me? Remember we told them, when the Spirit shall come, we shall guide you into all truth. Paul is not saying that these things that ear had not seen, ear had not heard, this thing your heart was not able to bear, the Spirit has now revealed unto you. Now, what am I saying? In the epistles, you find both the revelation of the Old Testament text, and then you find the revelation of what Jesus spoke to them about, or what Jesus could not tell them. Let me say this way. In the epistles, you find more, because what is the epistle? Paul, Peter, James, John, the list of the Old Testament, this text from them, interpret it and preach it for us. So if you are reading from Romans,
are you reading? You are reading the definition of the Old Testament. But furthermore, you are reading the things that are given to them to tell them that they couldn't be. Are you following me? So, this thing that happens to them is not being there now. How can it be come? How can it come? Yes. What does that break down to? That breaks down to those things that show from this. And what they are talking about is they now bend it down for us. You understand? Okay, I'll speak. The things the Spirit told them, that's what did not tell them. Where did the Spirit speak from? From the Old Testament. So what they mean by the Spirit told them, what happened? The Spirit granted them a revelation into the text of the Old Testament. I can follow me this evening. Take a revelation into the text of the Testament. So when the Spirit told them, tell the Lord to what those that you wrote from the scriptures. Do you remember that? In fact, in chapter 16 and verse 1, it says, moreover, I have not given the gospel which I received. Did I preach unto you which I received? Do you understand? Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's just the first one. It's okay. But he said, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now look at verse 3, everybody. Is your Bible wrong? Come on. Are you a Bible? Now look at verse 11 together. Delivered unto you, that which I also received. What did Paul receive? I am a Christ. Therefore, I say, according to, did you see that? According to, so this is one of the spirits that I gave it to Paul. Where did he reveal it from? From the scriptures. So Paul was not just sitting in his room, and then, I was writing, oh my God. Now, this is the most amazing thing. You don't mean this. Even the Spirit told you to be the basis for reading. The Spirit put through a document. So, what people say this like that, God spoke to them, but what God told them is actually the written word of God. Those guys are in hell. No rhema can be outside of the Logos. The Logos is the written word. You can't get a rhema that contradicts the Logos, the written word of God. Because even Paul, Peter, so the epistles are revelation of the Testament. So that's why we say the epistle is powerful, it's the key. Why? It is. Because actually, in the epistles, the things that were mysteries in the Old Testament were now revealed in the epistles. I think so what does not say studying the epistles? Do you remember the Berean Christians? When the Bible says after Paul finished preaching to them, they would have studied the what were they studying? They put the scriptures. And when they go, they found out this is what Paul is saying in his book. So it said that Paul was getting his mouth from the scriptures. I don't know any church. So the scriptures. The first apostles, the after apostles, the apostles all have the same message. Christ in the Old Testament conceived. Christ in the apostles revealed. I follow me. The Old Testament, Christ is there. In pictures, in fables, in prophecies, in allegories, in drama, in whatever you can say, in the Old Testament. Now, the epistles, the actual epistles, we now go to the Testament, sit down there, and the Spirit of truth has not said that they will come. They will not come upon their hearts and open up to them the text that Isaiah wrote, the text that Ezekiel wrote, the text that Jeremiah wrote, I don't know any. Open up to them what Job wrote. Hallelujah. So that the Spirit can now get to the point and show them, well, this is written. You know, because it's not even did it. You have to come and tell them. You think that it was fake. That, that, that. But
understanding what to speak, inspire them to write before it happens. That's the point. When the people of the government will think, the right man asks, and the people will say, why am I talking in this life? You have done that one. The man will say that the man can divorce his wife by giving him a certificate of divorce. Oh, but I say unto you, that man is better from the beginning. He made them male and female. He said, from the beginning, it was not so. I said, amen. So, when you read the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that God hates the divorce. Remember, marriage in the physical is a pointer to the marriage of Christ and the church. So, before God takes the divorce in the physical comes to mind, oh, no, that is what I want. That's before that comes. If it comes to your mind that God hates the divorce, he cannot divorce the church. So, if you study the Bible, how it is being studied, what did you arrive at? Christ. So, I think I will close this story with just one last thing. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. So what is it Timothy was reading from a child? The Holy Spirit. I'm not really going to do this, but when you get it from a child, something about babies. Think about the beginning of Christian world. But by the time he was there with Timothy, Timothy was still a child. He was still a young man. You understand? So now, when you know the Holy Spirit, what will be the result? They will make you wise. Now, that doesn't mean it will make you able to know man's business. What is the reason we're talking about here? It will make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That is what the Holy Spirit will teach you. That is what Jesus taught. That is what the apostles still teach. So, Paul did not invent the writings. In other words, Peter invented the gift of God. It's not from the document. And that document, they told me that they must write unto us. Today, we have put the document that they got it and their own teachings. We must make the Bible the central focus of our teaching. The teaching concerning Christ. It's not the anything that comes to your mind. We don't teach what looks good. I give an example when I was starting. If I write and go into the document, and what I want to communicate is that obedience. But there is no way we can see obedience of the soul, we need to keep cleanliness with less godliness. Because you cannot see. Once the people get around, the children will keep it. You know that what you are teaching is good, but it is not correct. Do you understand that? You can play with the Bible however you want. You can make it so anything you want it to say. But we will not be correct if we are not interpreted correctly. Until we see Jesus revealed in the world, we will not put it right. So get your Bible. Go to the Old Testament. Go to the New Testament. Go to the four Gospels. Go to the Epistles. Look for one subject. Christ has been crucified. What does that even mean? Look for what Christ has done. The implication of what he has done. Who we are in Christ. What we have in Christ. And what we can become in him. Let me just break that down. What has Christ done is the by the resurrection. What we have in him, we are righteous, sanctified, holy, and all that. What do we have in him? We have the Holy Spirit, we have this, we have joy and all that. What can we become in him? That talks about ministry, that talks about our conduct. In him, we can live more perfect life. In him, we can can stay away from sin. In him, we can walk more in love. I get that point. The message of the Christ, whatever it's done, whatever it is, what we have in him, and what we can become in him. It's the central message of the Old Testament writings, the New Testament writings, and all of us. Amen. Why you bless this evening? So when you read about Joseph, how that he was in Egypt. What will come to man is not just a blessing. Because it is actually more. He interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh, and from that one blessing, he became a strong man. He came to the deliverer of our entire nation of Israel. That's the message. I believe it. We are going to have a separate amount of penalizing or what is penalizing. What you come to mind is not just, oh, Abraham and Isaac. Abraham is still getting what the kid is from. It is the fact that Abraham is Isaac. I remember God already tells us in Galatians that Isaac is the God of the promise and that presents us. Abraham took Isaac and kept that Isaac tightly and that he was about to be slain. The boy's name, God knows that child, and have provided his lamb for the sacrifice. But the same way he was about to be slain, and the lamb came and was slain on behalf of Isaac, God declared to them, they were the pride of them, and the lamb was provided. Then Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord has provided himself a lamb. You know, I've talked to you. When you read that, some of you read, the Lord has provided a lamb for himself. That's Genesis chapter 22. The Lord has provided for himself a lamb. But I have told you something what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Lord has provided himself a lamb. He himself is the lamb that was provided. Was a prophet for the fact that one day you will be lying down, ready to be offered. And the Lord will provide himself the lamb for sacrifice. So what do you see when you read the Old Testament? What do you see when you read the Bible? Is it drama? Or is it what Christ has done? One day, he told Abraham, thank you, Holy Spirit. He said, come out and look up and number the stars. The number of the stars is so that I see three. And they come back to my relatives and say, oh, it was not in Abraham that when he looks at the stars, that number of people the king of Israel will be. Well, Paul says no. In Galatians 3 verse 16, Paul picks that very fast. And the guy is very good. Everybody thinks we've got a script, I'm going to close the next one. Now, Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made. He could not and he could. So when he said about the number of the stars, he didn't tell him so that I could be. He said so that I could be. Paul now tells us that that could is Christ. So Paul Abraham looked up and he said many stars. What seed shall come from you that shall be as many as the stars you see? What have you prepared in the new creation? That our beginning to them, so are we in the form. That that word seed of Abraham has become as many as the stars. When you read your Bible, the seed Jesus is in the Bible, and not your mind. The Bible cannot mean to them what it did not mean when it is written. That's what I'm going to take it a step further to talk to you about contextual Bible study. Some other errors that have been picked here and there. Hallelujah. Lift your hands, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let love that compassion and hunger for God's word be perfected in this world. In the name of Jesus. That from now, the great area of your Bible study will no longer exist. In the name of Jesus. That as you open your Bible, life will be stronger. It when they have convictions, they will no longer be convicted. I said they will no longer be convicted. I said they will no longer be convicted. And the truth is saying that the day passed for one of our hearts, Pastor Kai, that entering into your word will rise and dwell in our hearts. That we will want to know it, even as we know it in you. Thank you, Father. I pray that everyone here will give you the testimony of a better understanding of God's word. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.